What's up, listeners? Blue Wire has a new podcast coming at you soon. Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. On the podcast, they chat about topics like the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to a boxing champ, his American dream, sports, music, culture, and family life, and much more. So listen to On the Hook with Abner Maris wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
We've kind of reached the midway point of the 2020 NFL season. It's hard to, well, I guess the midway point, Edwin, isn't until next week, when you're in the middle of week nine. But for fantasy football, I mean, we're kind of there. Your season's halfway over. Your regular season might be more than halfway over. And unfortunately, there are a lot of injuries to talk about as we head into week number eight of the 2020 NFL season. My name is Joe Dolan, managing editor at FantasyPoints.com. His name is Edwin Porras, doctor of physical therapy, helps all kinds of regular schmoes like me and you rehab from injuries. And, well, hopefully he helps them get back into everyday life as quickly as some of these NFL players get back to work. But these freak athletes, sometimes they surprise us. But when you play a high-impact sport like football, people are going to get hurt. And we have a lot to talk about at skill positions this week as we break down the injuries from a pretty extensive week number seven. Edwin, how are you today? By the way, check out Edwin's injury report up at fantasypoints.com. How are you today? We're going to talk a lot about running back injuries today. That seems to be kind of what's going on here.
Yeah, I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks for having me on again. I'm excited to chase down these injury analyses the way DK Metcalf chased down Buda Baker.
Oh, that was you were rehearsing that one.
Yeah, I thought of it. I just kept practicing all in last night in bed.
Yeah, just that was the most impressive play I've seen all season.
It's insane.
It was unbelievable. If I moved that fast, I mean, my body would just spontaneously combust. My body is not handled to move that fast.
I watched that over and over again, and I could not understand how that body that's that big moves that quickly. The only thing that we needed was the Titanic music in the background, you know, the Celine Dion.
Yeah You're here. Yeah, I know. Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm not going to start recording this over. I just want to let everybody who's listening know that I thought about starting recording this over after that, but yeah, they I think somebody on Twitter called DK Metcalf a greyhound. Which I appreciate because I have two greyhounds, and that was kind of what I thought of when I was seeing him run down the field. But anyway, good to be with you, Edwin. Let's get into it because we have a lot to get into, and let's start with the Seattle backfield. You talked about the DK Metcalf play, but that backfield is super dinged up now after Sunday night's football game. Chris Carson goes down with what is being, let's start with him. Chris Carson goes down with what is being called a midfoot sprain. And I don't know why that sounds worse to me than them just saying it's a foot injury, but a midfoot sprain, what could this mean? Ian Rappaport from NFL Network said he's week to week. My expectation is he misses some time here.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty solid expectation, just based on the fact that, you know, this is an injury that when you look at on MRI. So this is, okay, let me back up. Pete Carroll is really good at telling us things without telling us things. He tries to be ho-hum, but then he'll sneak in words and phrases that clue you in that he's been talking to the medical staff. So he said in an interview, and I wish I could remember who it was with, he said, and I put this in the injury report over at the injury roundup at fantasypoints.com. He said specifically, you know, there was something we could see on his MRI. So that's never good, because even though pain and disability in the general population doesn't necessarily correlate with what, you know, your MRI x-ray looks like, for NFL players who had a traumatic event and they're injured, there is that, that matters. So if you can see ligament damage on an MRI in the middle of Chris Carson's foot, there's a chance he's going to need some time for that to recover. I would not be surprised if he sits this week and even next week. I know this is sort of similar to the Joe Mixon situation, but I think Joe Mixon's was a little less severe because we did see Joe Mixon actually practice in full last Friday. He just didn't end up playing. I don't necessarily anticipate Chris Carson playing this week.
So that would be an easy decision for fantasy players to make with Carlos Hyde, who ended up scoring a touchdown in that game. However, Carlos Hyde gets a hamstring injury at the end of that game, and they said it tightened up on him. I don't know if we can really tell what the severity is, but we don't often see guys tweak a hamstring and then play through it. It's one of those injuries that it just seems like it's really hard to play through, even if it's minor.
Yeah, it is. It's totally tough to play with. So there's actually one of a big systematic review looked at the average amount of time missed after a hamstring strain. It's 13 days in NFL players, because it's just a tough injury to come. I mean, you can't extend and bend your knee. You can't plant. It's just a really difficult injury to come back from. And when you think about Carlos Hyde, 30 years old, you know, no offense to anybody over the age of 30, but when you're an NFL player, that's old. And for those players who have had these issues in the past, Carlos Hyde, he specifically is at risk because of lack of flexibility and because of his age. Those are just risk factors for hamstring strains in general. And so it's going to be really difficult for a 30-year-old dude to come back and perform at the NFL level in a week's time.
And then Travis Homer, the third running back, he gets injured. He's banged up. What specifically is his injury? Oh, it's a knee contusion for Travis Homer, which is just a fancy way of saying knee bruise. What are the ranges of what this could be? But he was not available at the end of that game.
Yeah, so the worst case scenario would be something along the lines of what somewhere in between George Kittle and AJ Brown earlier this year. Worst case scenario. He could miss some time because this is a really, really painful injury to have and play through. You don't want to get hit there again. Even though the Seahawks did say there's nothing structural there, I wonder if they just meant, you know, meniscus, MCL, you know, kneecap, all that stuff. And they didn't necessarily mean joint effusion, swelling, because that's the hallmark of a contusion, is a deep bruise, is a ton of swelling. And that could be really painful and sort of shut down the quad. So it really just depends on his severity. I think if you see him out there in a limited capacity, at least today, then it points, it's a good sign. But he has probably the best chance to play of these three running backs.
So if he doesn't play, DJ Dallas is going to be the lead back. So obviously Tom Brawley and I will be talking about that on the waiver wire section, but we have more running back injuries to get into. Kenyon Drake, an ankle injury. Adam Schefter reports Drake's going to miss a few weeks. It's a ligament tear, which I guess, Edwin, you can describe to me what the ligament tear is. Is it the same as a high ankle sprain? We all know that a sprain is a tear. It just doesn't sound as bad as a tear. It could a ligament tear indicate that this is a high ankle sprain, or could it be something different?
Yeah, it's probably a high ankle sprain. I tweeted out last night at FB Injury Doc, if you want to go check that out. It was the video of Drake's injury. I was able to get on the All 22 and found a good angle for it. His ankle, when he plants, it gets caught and somebody rolls up on the side. The defender rolls up on the side of his ankle and bends his ankle sort of outwardly when he's planted. That's the classic mechanism for a high ankle sprain. And when you have those, you have sort of a combination of ligament, quote unquote, ligament damage to the ligament that's on the inside of the ankle, and the syndesmosis, which is just basically the big sheet of connective tissue that connects your two lower leg bones together. Really what I'm doing, Joe, I'm just describing what a high ankle sprain is. So you know, they said they're treating it like a high ankle sprain because it is a high ankle sprain. So we know he's going to miss, you know, the three to four weeks that players typically miss with this injury.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey, by the way, has missed six now, and there seems to be an outside chance that he plays this week. So let's talk McCaffrey with the high ankle sprain right now, since he's missed a significant amount of time. Just like regular ankle sprains, are there degrees of severity with a high ankle sprain, and what makes them more serious when they're on the longer end, like McCaffrey's?
Yeah, so it really depends, right? So I don't know necessarily how severe McCaffrey's was. We're going to assume that it was pretty significant, obviously. But you can also, go the other direction and say they're just taking the absolute timeline that it really takes for this to 100% get better, right? So you and I have talked about before how there's a study that came out in 2013 among NFL team docs, and all 32 NFL team docs agreed that even though players come back before the 4 to 6 weeks after high ankle sprain, they all sort of have these deficits that continue to plague them for 4 to 6 weeks. And so what it seems like to me is it's less of a severe ankle sprain and more so that the Panthers are like totally, totally going to bank on him getting 100% back to normal. So I don't expect him to have sort of any type of lag that's injury related, maybe some conditioning here and then, right? I mean, that might be an issue for him, maybe some volume in the beginning, but I don't necessarily expect McCaffrey to suffer any type of physical setbacks because of the ankle sprain itself.
Let's get to Joe Mixon, because this one's interesting. He got hurt in week 6. He returned to that game. He sat out some practice time last week. You said he practiced on Friday. He was inactive in week 7. So he has a foot injury. What could this be? We talked about Chris Carson a little bit earlier. Probably not as severe as Carson, since Mixon was able to return to that game. But what could have happened during the week, even after he finished a game, that made it impossible for him to play in week 7?
Yeah, so this is where it goes back to what we were talking about, like MRIs and whether it looks on imaging like it's bad or not. Mixon, I'm going to assume, right, this is all sort of projection, speculation. I'm going to assume Mixon didn't necessarily have anything that showed up in terms of damage in his foot, but he probably had a very similar injury to what Chris Carson has in the middle of his foot. He probably had a sprain. So Joe Mixon last week did not practice full practice. So it seemed like it was just more so a rest period. And it seemed like it might have been closer to a grade 1, to whereas the damage on MRI for Chris Carson sounds like it's closer to a grade 2. There's about a 10, they can be back up to 10 days after a grade 2 after these injuries. But in terms of Joe Mixon, it seems like he had a very similar foot sprain to Chris Carson. I would be surprised if he didn't come back, considering, like I said, he was a full go on Friday. I was actually a little surprised he didn't play on Sunday.
The one thing you have to keep in mind here, though, is that they have their bye coming up in week 9. So if he sits out this week, by the way, they also have offensive line injuries with Jonah Williams with the neck. They do have a bye in week 9, so they could take their time with Joe Mixon. Just keep that in mind. Let's get to Jeff Wilson, who has an ankle injury after he ran all over. Of course, when everybody on planet Earth is starting Jerick McKinnon and Jamichael Hasty, it's Jeff Wilson running all over running all over the Patriots with the 3 touchdowns. But his injury looked pretty nasty there, Edwin. He suffered it on his 3rd touchdown. He is expected to go on IR. Was this another high ankle situation, or did you see something else with Jeff Wilson?
So, in full transparency, there were so many injuries last night. I was going through my injury roundup. I didn't stop to go look at Jeff. I looked Deontay Johnson's. I tried to find Chris Carson's. I found Kenyon Drake's, but I did not go back to look at Jeffrey Wilson's. I'm going to operate off the reports that he's going to go on the IR with a high ankle sprain. That's what I'm going to go with for now. If something changes, then I'll put it out on Twitter or something, or I'll say something in the premium Discord chat for the subscribers at fantasypoints.com. But other than that, we're going to assume this is a high ankle. He's going to be out the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, so let's get into Deontay Johnson. He supposedly suffered a less severe ankle sprain. He's calling it an ankle bruise. What did you see on film? It kind of looked like a weird injury to me. When I was watching it live, I couldn't tell if he was holding his back, if he was holding his wrist, but he's calling it an ankle bruise. He says he's going to be okay. Now, players are always telling you they're going to be okay. Did you see something that would indicate he won't be okay to play?
So the only indication that I saw that potentially could be a little concerning when you put together what he said. So I, again, I put this out last night on Twitter. There's a pretty clear shot. I put a screenshot out of what happened. He had, you know, sort of the classic lateral ankle sprain. So what you'd call a low ankle sprain, that you just sort of like the one basketball players get where you turn your ankle, you know, when you're, unless you're super athletic like you, Joe, I know that you'd probably never get those. He turned his ankle, rolled his ankle. Those, the average return to play for those is under 7 days. So he's got a chance. But when he says I suffered a bruise, or, you know, there was an ankle bruise, it makes me think that he did get swelling and some bruising, which is not ideal. It doesn't set him up to be back right away. But again, he definitely has a chance just based off of what I saw on video. And sort of what the average return to play time and what the data says on those.
Man, he's just been snake bitten this year. Like the back Seriously. Injury, he took a helmet to the back. He had the concussion. And by the way, with concussions, I do know that there are concussions around the NFL this week. But I mean, there's really nothing we can say, Edwin. It's if you pass the protocol, you pass the protocol. If you don't pass the protocol, you're not going to play. And obviously, that's the case with Andy Dalton, who suffered a horrendous cheap shot from John Bostic. Let's get into Odell Beckham. He had an ACL tear. We know. Look, he's out for the season, and we're not trying to downplay his injury by not talking about him as much as we talk about Chris Carson. But, you know, somebody like Chris Carson has a chance to come back and play and be productive this year. We know Odell Beckham will not be back this year. Did you see the injury to Odell Beckham? And is there a risk that there was anything worse than just a quote unquote simple ACL tear here for him?
Yeah. So I saw the play one time. It's hard to sort of see what happened. I went back and watched it again. It just sort of came out of nowhere. You didn't necessarily expect it. I saw the very tail end of the play initially on red zone, and they obviously don't go back on red zone. And so I thought that he actually like just banged his knee against the lineman's chest is what I thought. And then it came out that he, you know, hurt his ACL. I go back and look at it. I'm like, yeah, I guess I can see that. But it was a little more subtle. Unless you're really looking at it, but this is hopefully not anything more than an ACL. It didn't seem like it could be, but there always is risk to have the terrible triad, which is a meniscus and MCL along with the ACL. But as of now, it just seems like this is the ACL, which ironically, you know, somehow is best case scenario.
Edwin, it's been wonderful talking to you this morning. Unfortunately, when we go long, it means there were a lot of injuries to talk about. So follow him on Twitter at FBInjuryDoc. If you want to get Edwin's advice, hey, maybe you rolled your ankle playing tennis or something and you want to talk to him in our subscriber Discord chat and our injuries channel, make sure you sign up to fantasypoints.com using code PORUS10, and he will give you his advice there. Edwin, it's been wonderful talking to you this morning. Hopefully next week we don't talk as much, because that means there were fewer injuries, but unfortunately it's part of the game.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me, Joe. I hope your career as a Celine Dion cover artist goes well.
No, it will. Believe me. I can't wait to get back to karaoke after all this COVID. So we'll be talking to you next week, Edwin. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. We know that at fantasypoints.com. We were trying to launch a sports business with no sports. Not recommended, but I think we did okay. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. None. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it, and they will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. One word. That is their best offer available anywhere. And you're hearing it on this podcast. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Tom.
Yes, sir.
Injuries. They happened in week number 7.
Too many.
And guess what else is happening? There's four teams on bye this week.
Oh, we're getting into the heart of it all. Hopefully no positive tests or anything like that. This is going to be tough enough this week. So, geez.
It's bad. Let's get into it. Let's start at the running back position, Tom, because we'll start the same place that Edwin and I talked on the injury podcast. Let's go to the Seattle Seahawks backfield. Now, obviously, Chris Carson goes down with a midfoot sprain. It looks like he is going to miss a couple of games. Pete Carroll said they – if you listen to Edwin's podcast, Tom, I'll let you know what he said. Pete Carroll said that they found something on the MRI, and Edwin said he essentially is telling you there that it's a semi-significant injury if you can see something on the MRI. So he's going to miss a couple of games. Now, the easy thing to say is everybody go out and pick up Carlos Hyde, and you know, you probably should, but Carlos Hyde also has hamstring tightness. Travis Homer got a knee contusion in that game. So Carlos Hyde, you have to keep an eye on his status. But a guy who's going to be out there in virtually every league, who you should be considering rostering this week, is rookie DJ Dallas.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. He's he's going to be the guy in this backfield. We also learned that Travis Homer also has a knee bruise. So I would prioritize Dallas over Hyde. I mean, we might get to the end of the week and Hyde might be able to play, but he might be at less than 100%, and his snaps and stuff might be limited. And we know that DJ Dallas is at least healthy, and looking at this matchup, it's against the 49ers. You know, Carlos Hyde's going to have a tough time running the ball anyway in this matchup. I kind of lean toward a back that has a little bit more passing game chops anyway. So, I think Dallas is going to be, fairly active no matter what happens this week. And there's a chance he could be looking at, 80% of the snaps given the current state of the Seattle backfield right now. So, we'll see how it all plays out later this week. Got this Hyde news. This morning, Hyde would have been the top guy on waiver wires if we ran him this morning, but situations change here. But one thing we do know for sure, that looks like Carson is probably looking at a multi-week absence. I'm going to guess that Edwin kind of said that this is kind of similar to the Joe Mixon situation last week with the...
Probably a little more severe, though.
A little more severe, okay. So, we're looking at Joe Mixon as kind of week-to-week right now. That came out on Sunday. Zach Taylor kind of downplayed it a little bit yesterday, saying it was day to day, but, we're looking at Mixon missing at least a game and, being very questionable for this week. So if Carson's is a little bit worse, I mean, we might be looking at more of a 2 to 3 week, absence for Chris Carson here. So, Hyde could still be added. I'll be prioritizing Dallas, but, this is a tough situation, and it's not exactly the easiest matchup as well against the 49ers.
What the hell's going on with the 49ers, by the way? I mean, everybody on planet Earth. Yeah. Hey, Kyle Shanahan. We're going to limit Jerick McKinnon's touches because of his early season workload. Okay, thanks, Kyle. Unfortunately, Tom, it worked because Jeff Wilson scored 3 touchdowns. The bad news for Jeff Wilson is he is going on IR with a high ankle sprain, so... Is Raheem Mostert on IR with a high ankle sprain? They could get Tevin Coleman back this week. My assumption here, Tom, is Shanahan's just going to play with us all and give freaking 18 touches to McKinnon this week. But Jamichael Hasty and Tevin Coleman are both out there on the waiver wire.
Yeah, we were pumping up Hasty on last week's podcast here, and hope you picked him up. And, hopefully this is the week where you can actually use him. And, it's a pretty, pretty excellent matchup here with Seattle. The battle of the two broken backfields this weekend in the NFC West between the Seahawks and the 49ers. But we'll see about Coleman's, practice time this week. Maybe he gets activated off the injured reserve. Kind of sounded like this might be the first week he's available, and we'll see if he's ready. But even if he does get the okay to play this week, I don't see him after an extended absence like this over a month, that he would come back and, play 60 to 70% of the snaps. This is going to be probably a pretty even split in this backfield. But I see Hasty as kind of the preferred runner in this backfield. Maybe we'll see McKinnon get back involved. That was, you know, like you said, it was a very bizarre situation. And, you know, he was getting used heavily earlier in the year, but you know, the last, you know, even before last week, he was sitting around 25 to 30% of the snaps. So, you know, his workload had been reduced. You know, that whole comment kind of smells fishy to me, but they might not have it, you know, an option here this week. They got to play whatever bodies are, you know, healthy and available. And I think Hasty's the lead runner in this offense right now. And, you know, as we've seen, you know, over the last, you know, over last year and over the first part of this year, anybody that gets the chance to run in this offense typically has success here. So Hasty is, you know, immediately right in that RB2 conversation.
LaMichael Perrien, Tom, nobody wants to play anybody from the Jets at this point, not named Jamison Crowder, and obviously Crowder is hurt. Perrien does get in the end zone last week, though, scored the only touchdown in that crap fest with Buffalo. He's available in over 80% of leagues right now. He's probably more of like an RB3 option, but he's got to have to get more carries going forward.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys I don't necessarily want to play in a lineup right now, but, you know, his opportunities are going to keep climbing here. And even Adam Gase said last week that he's going to start giving him more chances, and he actually stuck to his word and did it. So, you know, and the other thing is you got to look at this. You know, they're playing at a historically, it's a terrible offense right now. So, you know, we're always looking for regression in fantasy, and you know, we spend a lot in the off season looking at it, but we're looking at an in season regression here too. It is Adam Gase running the offense, but it's not going to continue to play at this epically bad clip here. They are getting a little healthier at receiver. There's another guy, Denzel Mims, another rookie on this offense that you might want to consider in deeper formats, who's starting to get some run here. You know, they'll get a little healthier on their offensive line when Becton gets back. So, you know, it's not pretty right now for the Jets, and it's not going to be, you know, they're going to be the worst team in the league here, but they're going to score more than 10 points a game, you know, than we saw last week against the Bills. So, you know, don't expect the world, but definitely somebody you want to stash, and could be very valuable down the stretch if he gets a good matchup or two.
The Giants play the Buccaneers this weekend, which is the worst run matchup in the NFL, Tom, and it is not even close. They've held Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs under 20 yards rushing in the last 2 weeks. But Devontae Freeman left that game against Philadelphia last week with an ankle injury. No real indication on how severe that is, but somebody who's available in virtually every league is Wayne Gallman, who got in there against the Eagles, looked pretty good. Scored a touchdown, caught 5 passes, could have a role this week. Unfortunately, probably not the week you want to use anybody from this Giants back.
Yeah, this is tough because Gallman's more of like a look ahead to the future. I don't know, even if we do find out that Freeman's out, I mean, maybe there's some scenarios where you want to play him as a flex guy, but I don't know if he's going to be a top 24 option in this matchup. But, I thought it was a little bit intriguing in that game. You know, it was that Thursday night. I normally wouldn't watch a Giants and Eagles game if I had to, but it was the national TV game. It was a standalone game. And I thought his usage was kind of interesting. Deion Lewis fumbled in that first half, and, they kind of buried him the rest of the way. And Gallman came out and started the second half with the starters. Devontae Freeman was on the bench for the first series, which was pretty interesting to me. And then Freeman came out and played the second series and got blown up in a pass protection, which was the play that he hurt his ankle on. So, maybe there are some signs here that Gallman's going to have a bigger role no matter what, even if Freeman is completely healthy here. So, Gallman, I don't want to use him this week against the Buccaneers, but definitely somebody I might consider, especially in deeper formats. If you're playing in a 14 team league or, bigger, you might want to add here just in case his role is growing down the stretch.
Couple of wide receivers that we need to talk about. Tom, by the way, just really quick, did you know Cole Beasley's on pace for like 1,100 receiving yards and he's available in 6 years?
I do, because I do the waiver wire with John, and I usually do the front, a lot of the legwork to start the week, and I just like keep slowly moving him up to the top of the waiver wire. And You know, he's right at the top here. He's already 40%. You know, anybody that plays in a deeper PPR league has, you know, had this guy for many weeks already. But he's even breaking through into these 10-team leagues at this point. He's been that active, and, you know, it's probably going to stay pretty active. We don't know what's going on with John Brown. He's obviously having some major leg issues. Can't get completely healthy here over the last couple weeks. So, you know, Cole Beasley is going to be very involved, and we know Josh Allen is throwing it a ton every week. So,
yeah. So Beasley, if you're in a shallower league, he should be picked up. I mean, he's somebody with his stats to be rostered in 100% of leagues. Like there's no excuse for him to be out there. Tom, one guy who could be an immediate contributor for you is Rashard Higgins from Cleveland, who went over 100 receiving yards against the Bengals in that game. Odell Beckham's obviously out for the season. As of this recording, Rashard Higgins is rostered in 0% of Yahoo leagues. I'm guessing that number is going up, especially in leagues that have open waivers. But he is available in your league. That is almost a virtual guarantee. And Baker Mayfield has to throw the ball to somebody.
Yeah, and this depth chart is, you know, extremely thin here. And no Odell Beckham now. Austin Hooper's out of the lineup as well with an appendectomy. Probably will be back after their bye week in week 9. But Higgins is going to be, you know, going to have a major role here going forward. And I don't know about you, Joe, but I haven't looked like the looks of Jarvis Landry all season long here. He hasn't
played hurt.
He hasn't been moving right. You know, he had the off-season hip surgery, and you know, maybe it improves over the back half of the year as he, you know, gets his legs back underneath him a little bit more. And you know, there's going to be more targets coming his way, but he hasn't looked right to me all year. So I mean, there's an outside chance that Rashard Higgins becomes the number one receiver in this offense. So he would be one of my top priorities this week.
Donovan Peoples-Jones in even deeper leagues. Yes. But I mean, he was an underachiever at Michigan. Very talented. I mean, he blew up the combine. You saw him catch that game-winning touchdown pass from Mayfield. But Higgins is probably the priority.
I will note that he was playing with Shea Patterson at Michigan. So, you know, it wouldn't be like totally stunning if the, you know, he checks all the boxes in terms of measurables and stuff, so it wouldn't be shocking if he, you know, finds some success at some point in the next couple years.
Jalen Reagor from Philadelphia, there appears to be an outside chance that he returns from his thumb injury on Sunday night against Dallas. The better bet is that he comes back in Week 10 after the Eagles' Week 9 bye, but they need somebody. DeSean Jackson, you know, you feel bad for him because he did come back from that injury and was a contributor for the Eagles on that Thursday night game. And then he got hurt on a cheap shot at the end of a punt return. But he's going on IR with an ankle injury. But Jalen Reagor is going to come back. And I would anticipate, Tom, as soon as he's back, he is starting opposite Travis Fulgham.
Absolutely, yeah. He'll be the Z receiver here in this offense. And, you know, they activated him off the injury reserve on Monday, so I would expect him to be practicing all week. And just on that chance that he could play against this Dallas Cowboys secondary in week 8 here, you know, I would be adding him this week. You know, Fulgham has been a pretty good story, but I would still probably put my money on Reagor, you know, kind of being the top receiver in this wide receiving core, you know, by the time we say hit December here. Might be, you know, there's definitely going to be some rust here. Hasn't, you know, exactly gotten a lot of reps with Carson Wentz here. But, you know, just we've loved his upside all season long. Now the wide receiver depth chart's been cleared out a little bit more with DeSean Jackson being done. Alshon Jeffrey is a complete non-factor here. And the tight end position, you know, Zach Ertz is looking at a prolonged absence. And Zach Ertz, you know, who knows what he's going to look like after he gets back off his ankle injury here. So Rieger's path to being the number one receiver here with a, you know, a suddenly resurgent Carson Wentz over the last month or so, you know, that's the kind of upside that we're looking for. That, you know, that's the kind of upside that wins championships later in the year. So definitely a priority for me this week.
And with Cleveland, we said Baker Mayfield's got to throw the ball to somebody as we transition to the tight end position. Harrison Bryant, 2 touchdowns for the Browns. David Njoku scores a touchdown. You would think now Tom, with Austin Hooper's appendectomy and the injury to Odell Beckham, David Njoku is probably not going to get his request to be traded here from Cleveland. But Harrison Bryant's the guy I'm focused on, because I don't know how you can take the guy off the field after he scores two touchdowns. One of them was a design play specifically for him, that you can see Kevin Stefanski dial up. That shows a lot of trust in the rookie tight end. And with Odell Beckham out, again, I don't know how you can take somebody who has shown this kind of ability off the field when the rest of your depth chart is so thin.
Yep. The tight end won last week, two touchdown catches. He outsnapped and ran more routes than Njoku last week, which is a really good sign that, it's tough. We're usually off of rookie tight ends. The track record of those guys having a ton of success in that first year, it's riddled with guys that have failed. So he's kind of excelled at any chance that he's been given, even earlier in the year. I mean, even in limited snaps. And last week was his first chance to really play a ton of snaps, and he took advantage of it here. So we'll see. You touched on Odell Beckham being done for the season here. Browns were already one of the more, 12 personnel heavy teams. It could become even more of a staple for this offense going forward with no Odell. So and maybe Baker Mayfield, we'll see if he goes back, reverts back to his old form here in the coming weeks. But that was at least a performance that he needed. He's been fighting through it here, the last couple of weeks, and finally started to show some signs of progress here. And maybe Harrison Bryant was a part of that reason.
Tom, you have better quarterback streaming options this week than Tua Tagovailoa, but we should talk about Tua. And the reason we're going to talk about Tua is because I think we all presume that Tua is going to be worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick for fantasy. I think that's based on his style of play, based on how rookie quarterbacks typically play. I think that's a fair assumption. But with the numbers that Joe Burrow is putting up in Cincinnati, and especially Justin Herbert looking way better than anybody could have reasonably anticipated, you do need to talk about Tua. What are your expectations here?
Yeah, my expectations are, lower. I think he'll probably be in that low QB2 range there. But we've seen it already. Like you said, Burrow and Herbert have both wildly, well, Burrow, he's exceeded expectations, but Herbert is wildly exceeding expectations. Yeah. And there's a chance that, maybe this is one of the better QB classes that we've had in a while. And Tua is, another phenomenal prospect. So, if I'm playing in a two QB league or a 14 or a 16 team league where QBs get snatched up pretty quick, I would definitely be looking at Tua. He was around 6% owned whenever I wrote him up here. I'm sure that number has gone up here over in recent days here, but you're completely right. There are two different types of styles of play. Fitzpatrick is kind of a, I don't give a crap, I'm going to throw it deep, I'm going to take chances, I'm going to go for big plays. And Tua's going to be more of the ball control, timing and rhythm type quarterback, get the ball out of his hands quick, not take a lot of sacks. And he's not going to be a guy, he can move, but that's not his MO. He can bide some time, but he's not going to be a guy that's scrambling a ton like Ryan Fitzpatrick. So those kind of expectations have to be taken out. But, we don't completely know the reasons why he's in the lineup this week, but maybe he has been extremely impressive in practice. And, this Dolphins team is right in the thick of right in the thick of things in the AFC East here. So, maybe they think that this is a step up. I personally, with my power ratings for our betting side, I'm knocking them down a little bit here, just going from a veteran quarterback in Fitzpatrick to Tua. But, for fantasy, I wouldn't be afraid to take a chance, pick him up. Maybe it pays off down the road. I mean, if you have a stash spot, I certainly wouldn't be afraid to use it on him here for a week or two just to see what he looks like. And, maybe it will end up being a great move for you down the road.
Tom, that's going to do it here for the podcast. Now, we can't cover every player, some of the deeper guys, and we can't cover your specific requests on this podcast. We can do that at fantasypoints.com, where we have a members Discord channel and also our well-attended weekly live stream bidding for points every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Those are for our premium subscribers. At fantasypoints.com. You can use code Dolan10 or Brawly10 if you have some very pressing questions right now. But yeah, you can join us tonight at 8 p.m. as we do each and every Tuesday night as you put your waiver requests in. It's been wonderful talking to you. Follow him on Twitter at Tom Brawly. Follow me on Twitter at FG_Dolan. This has been the Tuesday Waiver Wire and Injury Podcast at fantasypoints.com. Thank you, everybody, and we'll talk to you on the live stream tonight.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform, and come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.